It's been a great week. Last Friday, Mary and I decided that, actually 2 weeks ago, Mary and I decided that last Friday we would leave and go to Indiana and spend a week in Indiana with our kids and grandkids. And I know I don't look old enough to have grandkids, but it's the lights. But we decided we were going to go spend the weekend with the grandkids, and it was my mother-in-law's birthday, and we were going to celebrate her 80th birthday while we were there and just enjoy some time together and time away for a week. Last Friday, we were going to leave on Saturday morning, and last Friday, I woke up, and I didn't want to go. So I talked to my wife, and I asked her, I said, would you be okay if I didn't go with you to Indiana? And she said, oh, I'd be fine with that. It's a great vote of confidence, isn't it, fellas? So she went to Indiana to spend a week with the kids and the grandkids, and I took the dog and got in that little RV that we have over there, and I decided I was going to just leave. Get away. So I took off and ended up at Fall Creek Falls State Park and back out in the back in the woods back there, and nobody out there. Spent a couple days out there, and it was nice. No television, no internet, no phone service. Just me and God and a book. 2 days went by, and I started to pull my hair out. I don't have much, but I started to pull my hair out. And I was thinking, I've got to do something here. I decided to leave the park, so I left and headed up toward the Gatlinburg area and found another park and got into it. And they had wireless internet. So I turned my computer on and found out that God doesn't want me having wireless internet at this time. My whole spirit was just troubled by the fact that I was taking time away from Him to get on the internet. So I shut the internet down. Went back to my time with the Lord. And that was the day that everything began to just find its place in me. I spent the day there, and then I left. The next morning, went over to Cherokee, North Carolina. Stayed over there for a couple days and headed back and got to Camp Overton just in time for the men's retreat. And had a great time of fellowship. Played golf with the guys and didn't do... I'm not a golfer. But got set. I'll just quit. Thank you, Brother Bill. But it was great. The men's retreat was refreshing. Our speaker came in, and man, yesterday morning he brought it. You know, the primary focus of his message was that our theme was walking in balance. And his whole message yesterday was based around the fact that you can't be in balance with God if you don't believe what he wrote in this book. If you do not believe what he wrote in this book, you will not be in balance with him. Period. He was using some of the passages of Scripture, such as when someone is sick, you call the elders forward, anoint them with oil, lay hands on them and pray for them, and that faith that elder has will make that sick person well. He asked the question, and it just rang through me. He asked the question, he said, Jesus would say, why do you think I put that in there? To fill the pages? I put that in there because I want you to know that it's the truth. And until we get to that place where we believe those things that God has written for us, We can't be in balance with Him. I spent most of last night and this morning trying to get in balance with God. I believe God. I've watched some of His miracles. But I still needed to be more in balance with God. This morning, I'm going to talk with you a little bit about that, along with another topic that I'll introduce here in a moment. But before I get started, I want to ask you to pray with me. So would you bow your heads with me right where you are? Father, I pray and ask that in the name of Jesus this morning, that Lord, You would just use me as a mouthpiece for Yourself. Father, I am not here this morning to be glorified. I'm here to glorify You. I'm not here to be praised. I'm here to praise You. And so, Father, I ask You, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, that Father God, that You would just receive our praises this morning and glorify Yourself here. May the Spirit of God have His way in the service. May the Spirit of God speak to the hearts of the people. And may the Spirit of God move upon us, Lord, as You see fit. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. This morning, if you will allow me to do so, I want to, would you pull those lights down just a little bit? Thank you. If you will allow me to do so, I want to take you back a few weeks. And I want to take you back this morning, back into the upper room. On that night before Jesus was betrayed. At this point in time that I want to talk about here, Jesus has already washed His disciples' feet. He has already confronted Judas about betraying Him, and Judas has now left the room. And it was in this moment that Jesus said to the other 11 disciples in John 13:33, if you have your Bible and you want to read that, it's going to come up on the screen there. But Jesus said in John 13:33, He said, "My children," He said, "I will be with you only a little longer." He said, "You will look for Me." He said, "And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now." He said, "Where I'm going," He said, "you cannot come." Now, stay with me. These disciples have been following Jesus for the past 3 years, and everywhere He went, they went. The garden, they went. Cana, Galilee, it didn't matter. They went. And now all of a sudden, they're in the upper room, and Jesus says to these disciples, "I'm not going to be with you a whole lot longer, and where I'm getting ready to go, you can't go." Now, if you can put yourself in that situation, in that scenario, there was some confusion here because Jesus had been trying to explain to these men throughout this three-year period that this time was going to come, but they never got it. They never got exactly what Jesus was trying to say. So when Jesus said, "Guys, I'm getting ready to leave, and where I'm going," He said, "you can't go." Now I want to go over to verse 36, and I want to show you what Peter had to say. Take a look here at Peter's response. Simon Peter asked Him, he said, "Lord, where are You going? Where are You going that I can't go with You, Lord? I've been following You for 3 years. I'll go wherever You want me to go. What do You mean I can't go with You? Where are You going?" And Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow." He said, "But you will follow later." He said there in verse 37, Peter asked, "Lord," He said, "but why can't I follow You now?" He said, "I will lay down my life for You, Lord. I'll lay down my life for You." Look in verse 38. Jesus answered, He said, "Would you really lay down your life for Me?" Look up here. "Will you really lay down your life for Me?" Not just words.
Would you really do that for me? Jesus says.
He says, I'll tell you the truth, Peter. He said, before the rooster crows,
twice he said,
you will disown me or deny me. He said, three times. Could you imagine how Peter must have felt? I'll follow you anywhere, Lord. I'll give up my life for you. Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will have already denied me three times. Well, we all know what happened. We know the rest of that story. Peter failed. Peter failed. He denied Jesus. Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt like you failed Jesus? No, I'm serious. Have you ever felt like you failed Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about necessarily denying that He is your Lord or denying that you're saved or denying that He is the Son of God. I'm not excluding that, but I'm not necessarily talking about that. But I'm talking about, have you ever felt deep within your heart like you failed Jesus? I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would have to say yes. I think every single one of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would have to say there's been a time in my life when I have felt like I failed Jesus. I failed Him. Maybe you didn't deny that He was your Lord, but you see, we fail Him even when we fail to answer the call that He places on our life. You see, God's Word says He has a plan for your life and that He's going to call you to fulfill that plan at some point in time. And so many times in our own life, we will not answer that call. We will deny that call so that we can follow our own plan for our life. You see, we have it all worked out for ourselves. And so many times we will deny that call so that we can do what? We want to do. I denied that call for 38 years. I knew when I was 15 or 16 years old that something was going to happen with me and God. I knew it when I stood in the front yard and made a promise to God that if He would save my mom from dying, that I would serve Him one day. I knew that something was going to happen in my life. But from the age of 16 all the way to 38, I denied that call. We do that because we want to follow our own agenda. We want to follow whatever it is that we want for our life. So we deny that call. We also deny His instruction. You know, Jesus will tell you to do something. He'll lead you into an area where He wants you to do something specific. And we'll deny that so that we can follow our own dreams and our own desires. Striking home with anybody? Many times when the Holy Spirit convicts us, Jesus has sent conviction into our life about something that we're doing. Listen to me. Maybe we have a sin. Maybe there is a specific sin in your life right now. One that plagues you. One that you know you've tried to get away from. One that you know you've tried to cast away. And it keeps repeating itself. And Jesus begins to convict our heart through the Holy Spirit. But we do it anyway. And we follow our own convictions. Stay with me, guys. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, when we finally realize, when we come to that place in our life where we realize that we have denied or failed Jesus in that area of our life, we get miserable in our soul. And we begin to feel the same way that Peter felt when he heard that rooster crow for that second time and denied Jesus for that last time. when we fail Jesus, we find ourselves with that same guilt, that same hurt, that same embarrassment. We feel ashamed and broken and troubled and hurt. We feel guilty and sorry inside when we fail Jesus. We feel unworthy. And we ask ourselves, how could I ever serve Him again? How can I even face Him? How can I pray? You guys look up here. How many times in your life have you felt like you couldn't even pray? I don't even deserve to get on my face before You and pray. How many times? You see, that's what happens when we fail Jesus. When we don't do what we're supposed to do. And then comes that all-important question, but how do I restore myself? Well, let me tell you something. You can't. There's nothing that you can do to restore yourself if you fail. Because you see, if you could restore yourself, then Jesus would not have had to die on that cross. You cannot restore yourself. Only Jesus can restore you. Only Jesus can bring that forgiveness. Only Jesus can put you back where you are supposed to be and give you back your lease on life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about how Jesus will give you a new lease on life if you want Him to. I want you to go with me to John chapter 21. While you're going there, I want to go ahead and set the stage for you. After Jesus had been in that tomb for 3 days, He came out of that tomb and it was all over. He had paid the price. Everything was done. The atonement was made. The blood had been shed. And the Son had given all. And He was 3 days into that tomb. And when Jesus finally came up out of that tomb, He went looking for His disciples. Jesus went looking for His disciples. And I believe He went looking mainly to find Peter. Because you see, Jesus knew what Peter had done. And Jesus knew how Peter was feeling. He knew that Peter had failed Him. Not once, not twice, but 3 times He failed Him. And Jesus knew how Peter was feeling. He knew that he was broken. He knew that he didn't want to go on, but he didn't even want to live anymore. So Jesus went to find these disciples. And let me tell you something, guys. It's important that you understand something. When you're in this condition, Jesus will always come and find you. If you are a child of Jesus, and you fail and you find yourself in the situation that Peter was in right there, Jesus will always come and find you. He will never leave you out there like that. And when He came up out of that tomb, He went to find His disciples, those men that had been with Him through thick and thin, those men that had followed Him for 3 long years. He went to find His disciples. And I want you to look in chapter 21 there, verse 1. He found them fishing. Look at this. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which was James and John, and 2 other disciples were together. Now they're all together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. You know, I could be mistaken, but I can't remember one time after Jesus told them disciples, after he said to them, drop your nets and come and follow me. Leave this and come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. 3 years ago, I can't remember one time that they went back fishing. I can't remember one time after Jesus told them to throw away their nets and come and follow me, because I'm going to change who you are. You see, when you meet Jesus, when you really meet Jesus, Jesus will change who you are. He will change everything that you are. And when these poor fishermen, these unlearned, unschooled men that didn't make the cut with all of the other rabbis, they didn't make the grade, they were sent back to their profession of fishing, and they were all in here fishing out here in the middle of this boat, Jesus comes by and sees them out there fishing, and Jesus is knowing that they have not gone back to fishing one time. Let me ask you something. Why now? Why did they go back to fishing? These men had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had become disciples. They had become disciples of the Lord. Why go back? Let me tell you why. Because when you lose your connection with Jesus, you lose hope. And when they saw him in the tomb, when they saw him die on that cross, and they put him in that tomb, they lost all their hope. When you lose your connection with Jesus, you lose all of your hope. And listen to me, when you lose all of your hope, you will more than likely go back to doing what you were doing before you met Jesus. Because you see, that's all you know. That's why we find so many people who come to know Jesus, and something will happen in their life and they'll break away and they'll find themselves right back in a bottle. They'll find themselves right back in the drug scene. They'll find themselves right back out there on the street. How many of you know somebody that used to be a good, solid Christian man or a woman that has now found themselves right back out there in the middle of the world doing what the world does? You see, when we lose our hope, when we lose our connection with everything that we are, we will more than likely fall back to what we were before we knew Jesus, before we had hope, because that's all we know. So these fishermen, all they know is fishing. They went fishing. They're out there in the middle of the lake and they're fishing, and Jesus comes walking by and he hollers at him. He says, have you caught anything? Haven't caught anything. Throw it on the other side of the boat and you'll catch some fish. They threw in on the other side of the boat and pulled out 153 fish. They brought them to shore. And the Word of God says that, look at this, says when they got to shore, that Jesus had this fire burning, had some fish on the coals, invited them over to eat breakfast. Now I want you to go to verse 15 with me. The Word of God says, when they had finished eating, all these disciples were out of the boat, they've already pulled this 153 fish in, they saw this little fire going here that Jesus had, the fish burning, the fish cooking on the fire, some bread on the fire. They sat down and they had their breakfast together with Jesus. And the Word of God says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, son of John, he said, do you truly love me more than these? Do you? Do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Verse 16, again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then take care of my sheep. You feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. And then in verse 17, the third time, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you place me above everything? Is there nothing in your life that overshadows your love for me? Peter said, says he was hurt because Jesus asked him this the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Let me ask you something. Why did Jesus call out only Peter? Because Peter was the only one that denied him and failed him publicly. Publicly. Peter was the one that was like this. Publicly. Why did he ask him three times? Because he failed him three times. Because he failed him three times. I want to finalize everything for you here, and I want to tie all of this together. Listen to me. Jesus knew when he came up out of that tomb, Jesus knew that Peter had failed him. Now, Peter was the rock. Peter was the rock. Peter was the one that was going to take charge of the situation. Peter was the one that was going to stand before the people on the day of Pentecost and bring 5,000 into the house of the Lord. Peter was the one that was going to stand up and say, don't tell me about Jesus. Let me tell you what you did to Jesus. The Lord saw all of this. And he knew that Peter was broken. He knew that Peter was hurt. He knew that Peter had denied him and failed him three times. And he knew that Peter, in order to get him back where he needed to be, needed three things in his life. First, listen to me. When we fail Jesus, just like when Peter failed Jesus, before you can move on, before you can get things right, before you can get back and be who you're supposed to be, the first thing that you have to have in your life is you need to have forgiveness. You have to have forgiveness. Why is it so important? Let me tell you something. Because you can't find healing until you find forgiveness. Read through the Word of God. When someone was brought to Jesus that was sick, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, before he ever said, you are healed. Why? Because you have to have forgiveness before you can find true healing. I say this to you because when we mess up, many times we have a tendency to run. When we fail, we run away from instead of run to. When we get hurt, we run away from instead of run to. When something happens in our life and we get broken because something has happened and somebody has hurt us, or we have hurt, or we have failed, we run away. We decide to get away from the church because I don't want to go there and see all those people. I don't want to have to deal with everything. And we end up just like Peter in all of our misery because we've ran from instead of to. And Jesus can't fix us until we're fixed inside. We have to have forgiveness. And then we can begin to heal. We have to have forgiveness. Well, Jesus
knew that.
Let me tell you something, church. If you don't have forgiveness in your life, if you fail and you don't find forgiveness, if you don't bring yourself to that place where you can receive the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will eat you up alive. It will tear at your heartstrings. It will mess with your mind. It will steal your peace and your joy. It will turn you against everything that you know is good. And you will more than likely find yourself back out there doing what you were doing before you even met Jesus. The disciples lost their hope. They just went back fishing. Second thing that Jesus knew that Peter needed was he needed to know that Jesus still loved him in spite of his failures. Do you know that Jesus still loves you in spite of your failure? He loves you in spite of your failure, in spite of yourself. There's a story that reads this way. It says, just a few minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, an elderly gentleman in his 80s showed up in a doctor's office to have some stitches removed from his thumb. He told the nurse that he was in a hurry because he had a very important appointment at 9 o'clock and that he couldn't be late. The nurse took his vital signs and had him take a seat, knowing that it would be over an hour before anyone could come and see him. The nurse noticed that the man kept looking at his watch urgently and checking the time, and so she decided to see if she could help him. She looked at his injured thumb, and it looked good. It was healing nicely, and she reported this to the doctor, and he told her to go ahead and just remove the stitches and to redress the thumb. As she was doing this, the older man got into a conversation with this nurse, and she said, "So you have an urgent appointment at 9 o'clock this morning?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "I have the same appointment every morning at 9 o'clock. Every morning." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "You see, every morning at 9 o'clock," he said, "I go to the nursing home to have breakfast with my wife." The nurse smiled and she said, "I'll bet that's the highlight of her day." And the little old man blinked and said, "She doesn't know who I am." He said, "You see, she's had Alzheimer's disease for quite a while now, and she hasn't recognized me in the last 5 years. The nurse was a little surprised, and she said, "But you still go? Every morning, even though she doesn't know who you are?" The man reached over and patted the nurse's hand, and she said to her, "She doesn't know who I am." He said, "But I know who she is." You see, that's the way Jesus is with us. He knows who we are. And He loves us in spite of our shortcomings and in spite of our failures. And He'll come to us just like He did those disciples if we will just allow Him to do so. He will come to us in spite of ourselves. Peter also needed the third thing here, the reassurance that Jesus still needed him. He needed a reassurance, man. He needed to know that he was needed. How many of you need to know that you're needed? That you have a purpose in your life? You see, Jesus asked him 3 times if he loved him. And then Jesus confirmed it three times when Peter said yes. He said in verse 15, he said, feed my lambs. He said in verse 16, take care of my sheep. He said in verse 17, feed my sheep. You see, Peter messed up and he denied Jesus three times. He failed Jesus three times. Three times. And Jesus knew what Peter needed to give him back the life that he needed to move forward. Before we can move on, before things can be made right in our life, you see, we're like Peter. When something happens in our life and we're dealing with a failure of some forward, look at me. We don't have to fall back. We can fall forward. We can fall forward right into the arms of Jesus. We don't have to fail back. Jesus went looking for Peter. He's come here this morning looking for you. He's come here this morning looking for you. So I want to ask you to do something. Right where you are, if you're able, I want to ask you to stand. Just stand up, if you're able. And I want to tell you something. Shake it off, guys. Look up here. It's really important. Are you dealing with a failure this morning? Because if you are, it's robbing you of your joy. It's robbing you of your peace. And Jesus has come here this morning looking for you, just like he went to the Sea of Tiberias looking for Peter. We say, but I haven't failed. Let me tell you something. If you have not received Jesus in your life as your Savior, you failed. Because he's been calling you. You are his child. And he's saying to you, come home. Let me restore peace and joy to your life. Just come home. If you've refused to answer a call that he has placed on your life so that you could follow your own decisions and your own call, man, you failed. And Jesus says, let me help you make this right. Maybe God has told you to do something. Maybe he's told you to give up something in your life. Come on, guys. Maybe he's told you to stop doing something or to start doing something. Maybe he's laid that instruction out for you and you're still not listening. Then you failed. And he's still calling. Maybe he's poured conviction out on you through the Holy Spirit of God. And you've chose to follow your own convictions. Let me tell you something. God's word says he wants more than anything in the world to restore you. To give you back the peace and the joy that he wants you to have. He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. That's what he wants for you. But we'll never have it living in failure. And Jesus says, if you want to deal with this, if you want to get past this, if you want to move on and have the life that I have promised you, then you come to me, all who are weary. I'll give you rest. I will give you forgiveness. I will
assure you that you are loved. I will help you continue on with the plan that I have for your life. Are you dealing with something this morning? This message was for somebody because he changed my message. Somebody's dealing with something. And the Spirit of God is here to work with you to put you back where you need to be. Father, I'm not sure what you need here, Lord. Father, we've all failed. And we all find ourselves broken and hurt. And we all need to be restored and put back where we're supposed to be. We fail in our marriages, in our homes, with our children. We fail with addictions and hurts. We fail with the church. We fail with you. God, we fail. And you've promised that all you want to do is set us right so that we can have life the way that you want us to have it. May the Spirit of God have His way. And may you burden the hearts of those, Father, to come forward that need to find that forgiveness. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.